I love this verse that we chose. It means a lot to me. And during the last couple of months after we chose it, I've been thinking a lot. I've been thinking a lot about what this verse means and what it means to me, and asking God for understanding. And how does this pertain to my life? And what can I share with you? And I thought about, you know, where are the heavenlies? Where are they? I thought about, what does it mean to be seated? And in the three places in Ephesians, in the first, I'm going to read most of the verses, but we will turn to a few of them. But in the first bit of Ephesians, the first few places that you see heavenly, it says places, and the word places is in italics. And I think of the heavenlies as a place. So what's going on? Why is the word places in italics? And so that was a question for me. And I also know that it is a spiritual and physical reality that Jesus Christ is seated in the heavenlies. But for us, it's a spiritual reality right now. But one day we are going to be physically seated in the heavenlies. And I thought about this word sit or seated, and it does connote a place, because you, if you're going to sit down, you've got to have a place to sit. So the word place is in italics because it's all one word in the Greek. They just kind of shoved several words into one word. So it is a place. The heavenlies is a place. But seated or to sit is very interesting, and the most appropriate meaning to this section of that word is resting. It means to rest. You sit down, you rest. And I think of in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then when he was done, he rested. He completed it. He finished it, and he rested. And in John 19:30, you don't need to turn there. It says that Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," on the cross. He completed it. It was a victory cry. And then he accomplished what God set before him to do, so that we could have salvation, so that we could have a relationship with our Father, so that we can live the way God intended for us to live, so that we can rest in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. He accomplished it so that we can have it. Now it's by grace, and we can walk in that accomplished work of Jesus Christ. We don't have to strive anymore. And it is our true identity. It's the real you, is the Christ in you. And you are seated in the heavenlies with him. Ephesians 1:20 says, which he energized, the word wrought is energized, in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Mark 16:19 says, Jesus Christ was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. Hebrews 10:10-12 talks about, it says, Jesus offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and he sat down at the right hand of God. He accomplished it. He did it one time forever, and he sat down at the right hand of God. So why the right hand of God, I thought? Why the right hand of God? What does that mean? Why did he sit on the left or in front of him? Or, but it's the right hand. In Matthew, this is a whole other teaching, the right hand of God, but I'll just give you a smattering of it. Matthew 25:33 shows that judgment is on the left and salvation is on the right. Ecclesiastes shows wisdom is on the right. Aaron, when Moses ordained Aaron, they took the blood from the sacrifice and Moses put some on his right lobe, his right thumb, and his right toe. Isn't that interesting? I thought it was so cool. The right hand of the king, a king, is authority. Royalty sits at the right hand of the king. And the example that you may know of is in Esther, where the king finds favor with Haman, and he gives him a seat above all the other princes in the land, and he gives him authority. The right hand is the hand of blessing. Exodus 15:6 says, "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy." And that's what Jesus Christ did. That right hand of God, we're seated there spiritually with Jesus Christ. It's a place. It's a place of power. It's a place of authority. It's a place of victory. And we are seated there spiritually. Ephesians 2:5 says, God made us alive together with Christ. Whatever he has, we have. And now we can rest together. We can sit in the heavenlies. Rest connotes peace. So it's a place of peace. I want to add a little more understanding to sit. Matthew 23:2, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, it says. And to sit in someone's seat is to try to take their place. We've used that even today. He's trying to take his place at the table, or he's trying to sit there. Other things that we say of judges, the sitting judge that is in court, we know in the Old Testament too that it talks about that too. Kings sit on the throne. Wise men and elders sit at the gate to counsel and to settle disputes. Things happen in that seat when you are sitting. So I looked up the word seat. And I got a really cool little thing to share with you. And again, this is a whole other teaching too, but I'll give you a smattering of a seat, a very cool seat. In Exodus 40:20, the mercy seat was above the ark of the covenant of God. And it describes that seat. And that seat was pure gold, absolutely gorgeous. And the ark of the covenant of God was in the tabernacle. And it was in the Holy of Holies. And that's where God would appear to Moses. And it represents the presence of God. So in Leviticus 16:2 says that God appears in a cloud above the mercy seat. And then he would talk to Moses from there. And Numbers 7:89 describes Moses going into the tabernacle and speaking with God, who spoke to him from the mercy seat, which was between two cherubims who were these ferocious fighting celestial beings that are protecting the Holy of Holies. And no man could go in there unless God called him in. But today, we have the great and awesome privilege of being able to go into the presence of God at any time because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So let's turn to Hebrews 4. Everybody, I want to share this section. Hebrews 4, we're going to start in 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this place is also a place of grace, mercy, and help. A place we go when we are in need. Or even if you're just thankful, because God wants to hang out. John 16:33, I'll read this, but let me back up a minute. I'm a photographer, and in photography, there's this thing called perspective. You may notice me when I take pictures here, that I may walk around the room. So if you look at me right now, you see a microphone in front of me. But if you're standing over here, the microphone is not in front of me when you're looking at me. And if you stand over there, you have a different perspective. So that's why I kind of move around, is so that I can get pictures of people from their side. The microphone is not like this in front of their face. And I don't know if you have seen on the internet, sometimes you'll see, or on Facebook, pictures of people. Maybe you'll see a man with his hand out like this, and a person standing in his hand. The person is really way far back, but it appears as if the person is standing in their hand. Recently, I saw a man took pictures of some action figures in the grass, and he was way in the back, but it looks like they're all the same size, but they're not. That's perspective. So I submit to you, if you're seated in the heavenlies, what is your perspective? What is your perspective? So John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You have Christ in you, and you have overcome the world too. These are some victory verses that I'm going to read to you. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a great perspective. And that's a victory cry for us in our lives. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We reign in life. What do we reign over? You name it. You reign over sickness, over fear, over depression, over grief, over anxiety. Name your thing. You reign in life. Let's turn to Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or darkness, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If God be for us, no one can be against us. And if you read any of those battles in the Old Testament where God went with them into battle, they won every time. Will God not do as much and better for us today when we fight our battles? God will go with us, and he will make us strong and mighty and healthy and happy and blessed and joyful, whatever it is you need. Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. You got a mountain in your life? You got an obstacle that you need to overcome? This example shows us, speak to it. Tell it to get out of there. Get out of the way. A child of God is coming through. I had several things happen to me in the last few weeks where I remembered that I'm seated in the heavenlies and that it's a place of authority. So I had, as you know, my husband passed away about 3 years ago, and I do have bouts of grief. And I've gotten ministered to for it before. But it started to kind of glom onto me again. And I remembered my authority in Christ, and I said, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. Get off of me. Get away from me. Get out. Ain't nothing going to steal my joy. It was gone like that. It was pretty incredible. Then the small things in life that plague us. I have hereditary skin tags. My family has skin tags. And I had one in my armpit region. And it would stick to my body. And it would get longer and longer. Crazy stuff the flesh does. But one day I looked at it and I said, you have to go. So the next day, there was this little black thing stuck there. And I just kind of flicked it and it fell off. So that was pretty cool. And I'm a nanny. I had a situation where I came to work and the baby was sick and he had a bad fever. And after I got the four-year-old off to daycare, and he would try to play and still be crying while he was playing. And so I got him ready for his nap and we sat in the rocking chair and I ministered to him. And I said, fever, you have to leave this child. And then we rocked, and pretty soon I noticed his head wasn't hot anymore. You know, these things happen in life. They're just simple, everyday things that you have the ability to tell it to move, to get out. Whatever the obstacle is, whatever your mountain is, and maybe you've got one right now that you need to tell it to leave. Speak to it. Tell it to be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is who we really are. That's the real you, is the Christ in you. Luke 1:37. Let's turn to Luke 1:37. This is the last verse. Are you reading it? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. With men, things are impossible. With our logic, our human logic, things are impossible. Turn your face to God. Go to God, your Father, who makes things possible. Things are going to happen when you go to God. Go to Him openly, honestly. Pour your heart out to Him. He will give you a new and fresh heart. He will help you. I love you guys. God bless you. I love you.